Well, they can really score the ball. They've had a lot of injuries, and now that they have their main guys back, you know, they're going to be aggressive. And they have guys that can really score the ball, and it's dangerous. You know, it's dangerous when a team plays, you know, fast pace, shoots a lot of threes. If they catch fire, it can be really, really hard.
Oh, I think Evan Fournier and the Orlando Magic would love to see a little bit more offense. I think the Chicago Bulls in general would love to see a little bit more offense. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when these two teams meet tonight inside the United Center. It's an 8 o'clock tip time coming up on the Magic Radio Network. Dennis Newman will have the call. Brandon Kravitz will have Magic tonight beginning at 7:30. But yeah, man, when you're talking about offensive firepower, Zach LaVine have it. Chris Dunn, when he gets rocking and rolling, he can go. And then when you throw in Wendell Carter Jr., they're pretty good. They can get out and run, but the difference is they're not really doing that under new head coach Jim Boylan. We'll talk with Casey Johnson about what's going on in Chicago ever since their change coming up here in the second segment. We'll also talk about who's in, who's out for the Magic. Good news on one front, DJ Augustine went through a full shoot-around today. He missed the 125-100 loss in Charlotte to close out the new year. He should be back in the local five, starting five tonight. Bad news on the Jonathan Simmons front. He's still dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury. He will miss tonight's game as well. So the Magic get their point guard back. They don't get their second unit point guard back. And that means Jerian Grant is your second five starter once again. So that'll be interesting in how the Magic kind of navigate that tonight. But I also think it showed the importance of DJ Augustine and their loss in Charlotte. We'll talk about all that more coming up here in the second segment. But just a reminder, see a series of thrilling NBA games for one low price with the All-Star Fast Break Pass. Purchase one pass for only $59 and see five games in January and February. All you got to do, visit OrlandoMagic.com/fastbreak to purchase your pass today. There's one topic that's really only worth hitting on here in the city this week, and here we go.
What's trending now?
I mean, the first message about next year was handling the adversity of this football game. You know, this program's not accustomed to losing. No one in that locker room's lost in a couple of years. How we handle that today, tonight, in the week before we get back on campus, when we first start our offseason, all of those things will speak to who and what we're going to be moving forward. I expect our kids to handle it in a great way.
That is Knights head coach Josh Heupel. And, you know, usually we come on this program and we are a Magic-branded show. We are the Orlando Magic. That is what we talk about on this show. But sometimes there's a topic, there's a team, there's a moment in time that is just far more important than what you regularly have scheduled. And since it's 2019, we're all on this new year, new me kick, right? We're going to give credit where credit is due. Because while the Central Florida Knights, UCF, Charjon, whatever you want to call them. I didn't go to the school. I don't really have a dog in this fight. But 25 wins, despite what happened in a BCS Bowl in the state of Arizona and a neutral site, does not diminish what you spent 2 years working for. And look, I get it. Many fans today traveling back from Arizona are decimated. They're disappointed in what happened. And I will tell you what, when you get to a mountain like that and you get to a point as a fan, it is crushing. I've gone through it numerous times with my school, the University of Kansas, when they've lost in a Final Four. I know what heartbreak is like. But at the end of the day, what this team accomplished in a short amount of time in a two-year span is more significant than what would have happened had they raised a bowl trophy the other night. And it starts with this, right? Before this run started, I've been here 5 years. I remember what happened that year that UCF went 0-12. More importantly, you resurrected a fan base, right? You got people talking about your program once again. I remember when I got down here, there was no pride in this football team and this university. Last 2 years, that has completely changed. The school has gotten behind it. The marketing department has gotten behind it. They've done a great job with the branding. And more importantly, you UCF alums have showed out. You've showed that you are one of the premier institutions in the state of Florida. You're not fourth, you're not fifth, you're not sixth in the pecking order anymore. You're probably third, right? Yeah, back-to-back BCS ones. I mean, I don't know where else you'd put them.
Well, I mean, the way they played it, that's an argument for another show. But they are right there. You can't argue. You look around the state with Miami struggling, Florida State struggling. UCF's right there. And I think one of the really impressive things about this, they've done this now back-to-back with two head coaches. You remember Scott Frost was the head coach.
Yeah.
They go undefeated. They knock off Auburn. He goes to Nebraska, which no knock on him. That's a great job for him. He's going home. Josh Heupel steps in. this team very nearly does the exact same thing.
And they don't miss a beat. And you have to think, you lose 40-32 to LSU, you have Mackenzie Milton in there, you probably run away with that football game.
Well,
and that's point number two. Now you're the flag holder for all the group of five institutions. Look, people will sit here and say that the institution is stacked against you, and it is to some degree. But the point of the matter is UCF got a new conversation started that, you know, the BCS bowls were nice. This four-team playoff has been nice. But now you have coaches lobbying that you need an expanded playoff picture. And why is that? Because of what you did over the course of the last 2 years.
Well, and you look at college basketball as well. I think a lot of the argument stems from the fact that people don't feel like it's a national championship game because there's only a certain amount of people invited to the party. I think that's what the NCAA and the basketball side does well is all of those teams, you get there and you can play your way to a national title. We've seen guys get hot. We've seen 14 seeds get hot and make a Final Four. And I think that's what they're missing on the college football side. And I think that's part of the argument is, hey, some of these teams, like a UCF, they could get hot and win a couple of games. They want it to be decided on the field with a string of games rather than by a poll, I think is where some of that argument is coming from.
Absolutely, and it's well-deserved. Look, you go 2 years back-to-back, undefeated seasons, you hung a national championship banner. Some people will say it wasn't deserved, but you know what? My school has hung numerous national championship banners in the 20s where we still count them today. When people ask me how many national championships the University of Kansas has in basketball, I hold up a whole five fingers because that's what I've been told since I went to that university. So today, the moral of the story is you dropped a football game. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the program. What Scott Frost and Josh Heupel have built for that UCF football team is tremendous. And that clip that Cody picked to play right there, I thought was perfect. It's not about today. It's not about tomorrow. It's about where this football team goes moving forward. And I will tell you what, they have a very, very bright future ahead. Right now it's in the AAC. One day it might be in a Power 5, and it's going to be tremendous to watch. Okay, we do have to duck in a quick break. We have to get Casey Johnson on the line to talk about this Magic and this Bulls team. Coming up, it is an 8 o'clock tip time tonight down at the United Center. But just a reminder, Magic fans, don't miss your chance to be a part of history during the 30th anniversary season. See the Magic take on the Celtics on Saturday, January 12th, and the Houston Rockets on Saturday, January 13th at Amway Center. Get your tickets now at OrlandoMagic.com. It's pure magic. Okay, on the other side, we'll welcome in Casey, and we'll talk some Magic hoops as they kick off 2019. Hopefully the right way.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
Right there. People have fun.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along. This is the first Magic Drive Time of 2019, so thank you for joining us. A beautiful day in Central Florida. Magic will begin the back end of their calendar year, or I guess the front end of their calendar year, as they take on the Chicago Bulls for about the third time in the span of a month. And while it is our first show, our first guest of 2019 is Casey Johnson, beat writer of the Chicago Bulls for the Chicago Tribune. And Casey, welcome onto the show. Hope you had a great new year.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. Well, I will tell you what, I don't think in my 5 years working in the NBA, I have seen a schedule quite like this where two teams will meet for the third time in less than a month. And I feel like every time the Chicago team has a little bit of a different storyline. What is the status of Zach LaVine? Sounds like he is back, and he will be back with this team tonight. Magic did not see him the last time these two teams met.
Yeah, that injury, his latest injury, sprained left ankle, actually obviously occurred in the final minute of that next game against the Magic in Mexico City. He kind of had like a tendon sprain in his ankle and missed just shy of 2 weeks, missed the other Magic matchup, but is back and playing pretty freely, a little bit on a minutes limit, but it's around 30, so it's about his normal minutes, and he's looked good since he's come back.
How frustrating have injuries been for him on a personal note?
Well, it's not just him. It's really the whole team because, obviously, the Bulls are in the second season of a full rebuild after the Jimmy Butler trade. And until recently, the three principals acquired in that trade, Larry Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine, had not even started one game together all season. Obviously, Markkanen had the significant elbow injury in training camp. Chris Dunn then had a pretty significant left knee injury. So they just haven't been able to get their core together on the floor much together. Now they have been up and running here of late, and that's really what this entire season is about. The Bulls knew they weren't going to win a lot of games this season, but they at least wanted to evaluate, you know, what they feel is their core moving forward after making that significant Jimmy Butler trade. And that's been the frustrating aspect from an organizational standpoint.
Right now, talking with Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune. He covers the Bulls, who will meet the Magic tonight at 8 o'clock. That is local time. It is, of course, 7 o'clock in the city of Chicago under the United Center. So that's interesting, right? These three guys have kind of gone through different levels of frustrating injuries. And you mentioned it. The organization is sitting there trying to evaluate what they have. When they have played together, how has that chemistry been between the three of them? And also, where does Wendell Carter Jr. fit in that kind of mold moving forward?
Right. Well, it's a work in progress. They just really haven't had enough minutes together to really figure it out. I will say that there are still, in my opinion, question marks if LaVine and Dunn can work together. Even though Dunn's a point guard, and he says he's a pass-first point guard, which is true, he actually obviously operates better with the ball in his hand. And really, Zach, for a shooting guard, is the same. I mean, he's actually best when the ball is in his hand. He's not, I mean, obviously he has the ability to shoot off screens, but he's better just kind of driving and attacking and playing with the ball in his hand. So Markkanen has the ability to kind of fit off anybody. And the beauty of Wendell Carter Jr. is that he doesn't need the ball to be effective. He can be a force of the defensive end. He doesn't need a lot of plays called for him. He's a strong guy and defense is really ahead of his offense right now. So they're less worried about him, but there to me are still significant question marks about the LaVine Dunn Markkanen trio.
Interesting. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about Wendell Carter Jr. because tonight he's going to go opposite of Mo Bamba, and these two are probably going to forever be linked in the NBA draft based on where they were taken at 6 and 7. How much have they liked Wendell Carter Jr.? How much have they seen from him? I know he goes for 16 the other night. He's had three straight games where he posted double figures, but what do they like and what are they a little concerned about with Wendell Carter Jr.?
You know, it sounds cliche, but there are really zero concerns. This kid is 19 years old, and they feel that he's got real man strength. He's a very, very big and thick presence at the defensive end. He's got wonderful defensive instincts. He's got the ability with his footwork to switch on the smaller guards and guard in space, which is a necessity for today's big man. He has obviously experienced some foul trouble, as a lot of first-year players do, particularly when you're 19 years old. He's been able to navigate that pretty well of late. And as I mentioned earlier, he doesn't need the ball offensively to make an impact. He's got ability to score with either hand. We haven't seen his ability to shoot out to the three-point line much, but the Bulls are confident that will come. So they are in love with this guy. I mean, they feel he's going to be a franchise cornerstone for the next 10, 12 years.
Well, I was going to say, you could kind of see it. I was at the NBA Draft Combine, and, you know, everybody talked about the interviews that Mo Bamba did and how he articulated himself. But the other guy who was equally as impressive with the way that he carried himself, with the way that he responded to reports, not only just that, the confidence that he had in himself, was Wendell Carter Jr. I mean, that has to be great in a city like Chicago to have the confidence and the personality that he does.
Yeah, that's well said. And, you know, he was his two choices were Duke and Harvard. So, I mean, obviously the guy's no slouch when it comes to intelligence on and off the court. He's different than Mo. I got to know Mo a little bit through the draft process, obviously. I knew the Bulls were targeting him as well and, you know, interested in him as well. But they really zeroed in on Wendell. But, you know, Mo's very, very very, very eloquent and very well spoken. Wendell is too. He's just a little bit more soft spoken about it. He's got a quiet substantiveness to him. The more you're on him, the more you're impressed by him, because he doesn't need to hear himself talk, but when he talks, it usually has a lot of significance to it. He's an impressive kid, and like I said, he's only 19. And you're right, I think those two guys are going to be linked together for a long time. The other thing the Bulls were really impressed by with Carter, it's been well documented, is just, you know, when he went to Duke as the man. And then with the Bagley reclassification, the Bagley commitment, he had to take a backseat to Marvin Bagley and really did it without any complaint and without much noise, and kind of adjusted his game to fit. And I think that's a trait that is pretty impressive, particularly for someone who's 19.
Well, I was going to say, they've done a nice job at hitting with that number 7 pick, because a lot of people sit there and say that you can only get talent at the top 3 in the lottery. But really, back-to-back years with them having Minnesota take Markkanen and then taking Wendell Carter Jr., draft-wise, they have done very well.
Yeah, they feel that way. I mean, obviously, you still need to have those guys make incremental jumps as it moves forward here. But you're right. I mean, there is this kind of myth or stereotype that you can only get impact players top 3, top 4. But, you know, we've seen throughout the years that that's just not the case. I mean, Giannis would be a huge example. Steph Curry would be another
Absolutely.
Huge example. The Bulls at 7, you know, even though the marketing is technically a trade, it was their draft rights in the Jimmy Butler trade. They feel that they've done well with back-to-back picks.
Absolutely. Okay, let's transition and talk about the head coaching change. You know, this team goes from Fred Hoiberg, who was a little bit, I don't want to say standoffish, but he kind of let his guys do his thing, and he wanted to play a pace and space style. That is completely changed under head coach Jim Boylan. They're much more of a grinded out, gritty team, and it shows in their pace numbers and their defensive metrics. Things got a little rough to start, but how has that kind of evolved with him now being, 13 games under his belt as a head coach of the Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, they're 5-8. It's hard to point the record because the qualifier you have to use is they very well could have been 5-8 if they hadn't made the coaching change, because, you know, Fred didn't get a chance to coach what is now a healthier roster. But no question, there's been a huge difference in style. I mean, Fred Hoiberg, the enduring image I will have of him is, you know, rushing, you know, making the motion with his hand to rush the ball up the court even after made baskets. And with Jim Boylan, it's the exact opposite. I mean, you've got Jim on the sideline screaming at his point guard to slow it down. It's almost uncanny in today's NBA to see a coach play it as at a pace that Jim is trying to play at. And he's been very, you know, detailed and transparent with his approach. I mean, he says that, you know, at one point, obviously, he would like to play at a faster pace and kind of join what is obviously the trend in today's NBA. But right now, he's trying to strip this down and build it brick by brick foundationally, and that starts with, in his mind, the defensive end. And he feels like the Bulls, with a young, unproven roster, have a better chance to guard if you're coming out of defensive transition, out of controlled offensive sets. So this is what he's choosing to do right now. And you mentioned the defensive metrics. They are significantly improved in these last 13 games. I believe when I looked yesterday, they were 6th in the league defensive rating over the previous 13. So they are trying to play a grind it out, muck it up style. And, you know, it's not always pretty to watch, but it's how Jim's choosing to coach, and it's paying off with some victories.
Well, you know what? Anytime you get more victories under your belt than you have losses, things are good. They're 5-8 right now, but they've had a nice stretch where they've won 3 out of 4. And granted, while the teams have not been giant killers, they're wins nonetheless, and they all count the same on the left side of the ledger. I'm interested in that comment you made, build it brick by brick. Was there a notion or maybe a feeling within the front office of Chicago that maybe there wasn't a lot of teaching going on under Fred Hoiberg, and maybe that he was just trusting their abilities a little too much?
Well, I mean the management's been incredibly transparent with the reasons for the coaching change. I would say it points more – I don't think it's more a lack of teaching. I think it's just more that Fred, in management's estimation, had kind of lost command of the locker room It's not so much that he lost the players, because the players all like and respect Fred considerably, but they just felt like the leadership and the identity had fallen under Fred. And they said that publicly when they made the coaching change. And the most telling detail that I thought that management said publicly when they made the coaching change was what I alluded to before. They very well could have been 5-8 over these last 13, even if they hadn't made the coaching change. And those wins and losses obviously would have been on Fred's record. But management said that getting healthy and winning some games would just have been a Band-Aid on the more fundamental issues that they saw. And so they made the change to what they felt like was somebody that was going to hold players more accountable and create a more defensive-minded identity, and that's why they made the change.
Well, it certainly showed so far. It'll be an interesting one at the United Center. All right, Casey, I'll get you out of here on this last one. You know, everybody has a New Year's resolution. I'm sure the Chicago Bulls have a New Year's resolution, but as they enter a new calendar year with 40-some-odd games still left to go on their slate, what is their resolution moving forward?
Well, the biggest one would probably be to get Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine playing well together. I mean, when you make a decision to trade a player of Jimmy Butler's caliber, you've got to get it right. And as I mentioned before, there just hasn't been enough time for those three to play together to know that, hey, this is where we're going to be in 2-3 years. Now, there's still a lot of hope and internal optimism that it's going to work out, but it still, you know, has to be proven on the court. And you've just not had a long stretch, you know, and now you've got, you know, knock on wood from the Bulls perspective, if these guys stay healthy, you've got 40-some games where these three guys can start games together, form some chemistry together. They only played 12 games together last season, and that was with Zach LaVine, not Zach LaVine, because he was coming back from a ACL and he was on a minutes restriction. Until recently, they'd only played 2 games together this season. So you look at a 40-game stretch with those guys starting games together, that's what the Bulls' resolution is. Get those guys up and running, get them going together, because they've got to have those three guys all hit their ceilings if they're going to be able to justify trading Jimmy Butler.
Well, they will all be out there tonight, and it should be a lot of fun. These two teams have already split their first 2 contests together. Still 2 more to play. But, hey, Casey, thank you so much for joining us. I thought this was wonderful.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Take care.
Anytime. That was Casey Johnson. Special thanks to him for taking time out of his day, especially when this game is right around the corner. Everybody knows that coaches usually go an hour before. So him taking time out to do this, we greatly appreciate it. All right, that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center today. Dante is back in his chair tomorrow, but thank you for joining us here on our first show of 2019. Thought it was a great one. We'll see you guys tonight with Magic Tonight.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
Boy, duh. People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.